Blog Talk Radio.
Caller, let me help you.
My landlord won't fix my washing machine.
Go to AT&T.
Huh?
When you have AT&T Wireless and DirecTV, you can get unlimited data. Then you can enjoy your favorite DirecTV shows on your phone while you're at the laundromat.
Sweet.
Sweet indeed. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Must have eligible TV service. If you're not eligible, AT&T will move you to a new plan and overage charges may apply. After 22 gigabytes of data usage, AT&T may reduce speeds. TV content varies by device, location, and package. Monthly and other charges, usage, and other restrictions apply. See store for plan details.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we're gonna walk it out. Ooh, mountains. We're gonna walk it out and ooh, mountains. And I silence is a quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move mountains, bring it to its feet. Move mountains. That we have each other.
As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Master Farad Muhammad. call him Jesus Christ. The Muslims call him the great Mahdiya. We forever thank and give praise to him for coming in our midst and leaving up in our midst as a divine reminder of his majesty, mercy, and awesomeness as God. He left for us the last and the greatest of the messengers of God in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of them all, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names of love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. And we'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I send to you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth, the Star and Crescent Report. This edition of the Star and Crescent Report is titled, The Future Looks Like Nothing But War and Economic Collapse. Now, I've been going through a lot of emails, and one brother or sister want me to go into the depths of the moon and how the moon got blasted into space in the inner depths that was left out of the surface teaching or whatever. And that would be a good subject. But first, see how people, we grasp for things that are not relevant at the not as relevant, I should say, as the things that we need to know now. Because with the economic collapse, the buildup of unemployment, the great racial tensions and great racial divide, the threat of war and more war, the uprising in America, in Africa, and in Asia over Anglo domination, that speaks more to your soul right now, because this is the time that we're living in, and the breaking and the removal of the white man's power, his world, his culture, his idea, his atmosphere. Remember that an atmosphere is something that is conducive to life. And the life that we have lived has been a life of ignorance, exploitation, death, immorality, being unethical, scheming. That is the mind and atmosphere of Yaqub. And as long as you can be evil and wicked like that, you can flourish in that atmosphere. But now God has come in person to remove that kind of atmosphere and place in its stead something that would give you freedom, justice, and equality, and an unlimited path to success. This is the atmosphere that we're striving to get into, especially as the white man continues to report on the dire circumstances and shape of his own world. So sometimes I was reading the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we're going to get into clips and all of these things. And I want to say this at the beginning of the show. Brothers and sisters, you know this is the best show and most informative show on the air. You know the website is the most informative website on the air. How about you all help and support it? You're doing just like the Negro, always want something for free. How about you help us? Because you will be called to account. I just wanted to go to the Hiram 1555 blog and donate. If you have a dollar, donate. All right? But, again, brothers and sisters, I was thinking about over the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and how he says, being taught them to do that, that's casting pearls before swine. Because they're only trampling on divine wisdom and not giving it a time to resonate or to digest on their soul. So you classify those brothers and sisters as rusty locks. You don't lose no more time with them, okay? Because you've done your job. But the future looks like nothing but war and economic collapse. There's so much going on today. I thought about the deployment of Russia's S-35s along with her S-34s and her SU-30s, the Su-35s, the Su-34s, and the Su-30s, along with the Su-27s to Syria. And I thought about how we said that this buildup was going to happen, and how we said that America and Britain, France, Italy, Belgium, and all of those so-called NATO nations and associate nations would be drawn back in there. A lot of the black people who hear this, they don't think that it is relating to the circumstances and situations of Black Lives Matter. They don't see that it's relating to the way that the white man treats you by his police forces. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, when America gets taxed militarily and economically around the world, she would lash out at God's elect here within her own borders. So she's being taxed in the South China Sea. She's being taxed in Afghanistan. Hell, they had to come out with a report a day or two ago and admit that the Taliban had reclaimed a third of the provinces under NATO supervision. Now, listen to this. Mathematics here. Because Islam is mathematics, and mathematics is Islam. Why? Because the two are equal truths that can be proven at no limit of time. Well, if they were reporting a few years ago that the Taliban was in control of a third of the province then, and they come out a few days ago and says the Taliban has recaptured a third of the provinces, that only leaves one third under U.S. and NATO control, right? Muhammad says she would be losing left and right. Is that not what we're seeing? And she'll be going from pillar to post, trying to maintain her sway and domination of the earth. As everything falls apart, she will try to abuse and misuse those whom she has misused and abused for centuries. Do you see the connection here? The buildup for war, the deployment of the Su-class fighters from Russia, is what Muhammad had described in the fall of America as we went over in chapter 40, when he talks about the skies over there are beginning to have foreign planes carrying deadly bomb guns. Let's go to it. Chapter 40. Brothers and sisters, give me a second. Chapter 40 of the Fall of America. Here we are. Hey, listen to what he says right here. Page 171, 172. And remember, these deployments come on the... These are not just out-of-the-blue deployments. And all of this will be tied into scripture, prophecy, and what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to expect in the fall of America. And how can you be free if America's power is not broken? See, you're not connecting these things. But listen, the Dutch, the Belgians, about two, I think Sweden, and two or three other are now deploying warplanes and troops and logistics to North Africa and the Middle Eastern area to so-called fight the people whom they've trained, armed, and financed called ISIL, or the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, ISIS. Now, 171, 172, Muhammad says, America and England deposited their little brother Israel on foreign soil, Palestine, which is Arab land. They deprived the Arabs of their own land and sent them into exile. This injustice against the Arabs is now costing America the power and authority that she once exercised in the East. Stop right there. Don't you see all of the nations or the people under these brutal leaders are now rising up? But the brutal leaders are in the pockets of America because America has funded them. She has trained their armed forces, and she supplies them with weapons, and what they do to stay in power, they go against. people. So the people now is bubbling, and over in the Middle East they have reached a bubbling pitch. But it's right here in the fall of America. Why would he put that about the Middle East and Asia? Right in a book called The Fall of America. He's trying to convey something to you of what to expect in the fall of America. But you so used to pulpit teaching, all you want is feel good. You don't pay attention. But today you're going to listen, and you're going to connect the dots, and you're going to understand that the white man's future, America especially, looks like nothing but war and economic collapse. Muhammad goes further and says, this injustice against the Arabs is now costing America the power and authority that she once exercised in the East. She is on her way out of the Near East. Stop right there. And you see her deploying her troops into the Near East. You see her deploying her F-22s and F-35 pieces of junk to the Near East. You see her deploying more warships, gunships, everywhere in the Near East. That's that light bulb effect. She wants to project power and confidence to the people. When the people who are strategically inclined are watching, saying that she's about to tuck tail and run. But listen closely to what Muhammad says. He says, she is on her way out of the Near East. This means bloodshed and plenty of it. She's not just going to go. No. America ain't like that. She wasn't built like that to concede defeat willingly. So she's going to put up a grand face of confidence and success. But the bloodshed is spreading, and it's going regional as we speak, with the buildup for war and the constant threats and provocations between East and West. Now listen, as we go through this, you'll see how it connects with you here in America. Because without this underlining understanding, you cannot see the breaking of American power and the freedom of God's elect who have been held captive here for nearly 4+ centuries. All right? Muhammad says, in the Near East, he's talking about the Near East, not the Far East. The Far East is Asia. But in the Near East, that's North Africa and the Middle East, there stands navies which are neither American nor British. What was Iran doing the other day? Demonstrating her naval capacity to defend the Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz, right? What was Russia doing last week? Wargaming in the Mediterranean Sea, demonstrating its ability to defend Syria and the Russian forces deployed in Syria. In the Near East, there stands navies which are neither American nor British. But what is their purpose, Elijah Muhammad? Well, let me tell you their purpose if you listen. They are there to drive America out. That's their purpose. That's their main goal. I was reading an article by Sputnik News, and they were talking about how Russia's deployment to Syria and how they're mopping the floor with ISIL and ISIS, even though America and NATO are secretly helping the leadership of ISIS and taking ISIL from theaters of war where they're being slaughtered by Russia and moving them around secretly. And they were talking about how Russia has changed the game. And now more nations that was with America are now reaching out to Russia, reaching out for China. This is the part where Elijah Muhammad talked about in the end of America, in the end of Western domination. The nations will start taking sides. This is what he's talking about. And he says, this is a prelude, and I'm paraphrasing, to the breaking of American power and the stranglehold that she has exercised over her ex-slaves. So if we don't understand that, how can we know when it's time that God is going to break her stranglehold and the power that she's exercised over you? Huh? You don't understand it? We're going to make it clear, crystal, okay? So he says this. Their only purpose, he says, they are there to drive America out. And I go back to the SU, the Sioux fighter planes that have been deployed there. And Russia also has upgraded Syria's MiG-29 fighters. They are far superior now over anything that Turkey has in its aerial arsenal. The MiG-29s, the upgrades, I think they're the MS upgrades or MN upgrades. This is in preparation for war. In a time of economic constraints, austerity measures around the globe, why would you constantly have war games and real-time war scenarios about all of these nations that are at loggerheads with each other, spending tens of millions and billions of dollars on logistics alone and the deployment of weaponry and troops? But you are in economic restraints right now, yet you are spending this. The only thing that makes sense is the coming or the approaching of war. And you're trying to hone in your most powerful weapons and your most powerful things, and you're trying to demonstrate to your opponents the cost of the war to try to prevent it. But you can't prevent this because God spoke it through the mouths of his prophets and messengers. It has to come. These things must take place. Some of us, we get it all out twisted because we don't understand what must take place globally for you to be free internally within America. Remember, you are the first ones that God will free. How can he free you if America is still the dominant power? How can he free you and give you freedom, justice, and equality when America is still wealthy and influential around the world? To free you, he must bring her to her knees, the same as he did Pharaoh and ancient Egypt in the time of Moses. The future looks like nothing but war and economic collapse. Let's go back to this for a minute. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, they are there to drive America out. The skies over there are beginning to thicken with foreign planes carrying deadly weapons, guns, and bombs. Now, NATO nations are not indigenous to the Middle East, North Africa area, yet they continue to deploy troops and warships and war planes, those foreign planes, carrying deadly weapons and bombs. Russia is not indigenous to the Middle East, yet Russia continues to build up her weaponry opposite NATO. Listen to what Muhammad says. They will not be satisfied as long as Israel is in Palestine. So one of the main things that America has heaped on Israel is a strategic failure because Russia now has the whole area, if they want to, under air control. They can knock out any plane anywhere from Israel across the Middle East. He says, the ball has come to a bursting point. We are in a troubled world. We are in a world that is now erupting. So, as we see these things, these measures taking place across the Middle East, and we're going to, brothers and sisters, please give me a little time with you because we have to explain these things. And I don't like to go halfway in it. I like to tell you the truth and explain it where you can understand these things. All right? Because above all things, if you get an understanding, you're good to go. So Russia is constantly building up. NATO is constantly building up. Now, why would Elijah Muhammad put this in chapter 40? And why would he then transition? Now, he's talking about America and Britain and NATO and Russia and the Middle East right here in North Africa. Then right after he says, the ball has come to a bursting point. We are in a troubled world. We are in a world that is now erupting. He goes from that point there and transitions to you. And he says, black man who was once a slave in America, you have a way of escape. See, he's telling you, this thing here will be deadly and devastating beyond your belief. America is going to lose her position in North Africa and the Middle East, whether you believe it or not. So he goes back after he's telling you these things the same way I'm saying it, because I learned it from him. He goes and talks to you and tells you about what's going on over there to make you understand what to expect here. He says, black man, he ain't just talking to Africa. He specifically calls The way out is not on your own terms. It is on the condition that you submit to Allah and come follow me. Now, listen to what follows that. He gives you the conditions to get out of the way. He gives you the safety zone. He tells you what the safety zone is, that you submit to Allah and that you come follow him. And then you say, well, I got to go do this, he says. But this is the only way out. I am the door, and I have the key to your salvation. They're going to keep killing us. They're going to be doing this. I have the key to your salvation. Listen to what he says. Reject it and die. So you might have a good heart, and you might be trying to do good, but if you're rejecting what he put before you, you're not in the realm of safety. You're going on what your knowledge is. And what your knowledge is, you can't even beat a fly. So you'll put yourself in the line of fire. For those who are non-Muslims who are listening, pay close attention. And for those of you who are Muslim, listen to your little brother. And don't be mad. So now he tells us that, right? From going from North Africa in the Near East, which is the Middle East, and talking about the opposite forces opposing each other and the bloodshed has just come, then he transitions to the so-called American Negro. And from that point there, he goes right back. Listen to how he does it. He goes right back and says, we're in a world that is falling. It will soon be going up in flames. In Berlin, Germany, the Cold War between East and West will soon erupt into a hot war. Now, if you look in Germany right now, there's rioting, but you get hardly any of this on the news. They only show you the rioting in Africa. They're only showing you the rioting in the Middle East. They're not showing you how the repressive governments of the West are putting down riots and uprisings in their own nations with viciousness and brutality unlike anything you've seen before, because that's the way the devil does. He's going to make himself look civilized and make you look savage. That's how he does the thing. But Germany is at a bursting point because there's such a great divide that was never healed. And you have them all clamoring for power. Some want to pull to the east, some want to pull to the west. The Eastern Bloc wants to associate with Russia, China, and the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. And the Western Bloc wants to be entrenched in NATO and America's greed and corruption. Muhammad says, it will never be settled in peace. They thought that they had beaten prophecy when the Berlin Wall came down. And they said, not a shot fired. And you heard Reagan and all of the other ones, they were so happy when the Berlin Wall fell. They actually believed, because they were inebriated on being a superpower, they thought that they had beaten prophecy. They didn't understand that God acts in his own good time. And so now we're seeing the fruits of prophecy ripen. And Germany is being ripped apart culturally. She's being ripped apart financially. She's being ripped apart politically. And it's at the bursting point. And remember, as Germany goes, so goes Europe. She's the political powerhouse, and she's the economic and industrial juggernaut of Europe. All right? All right. This affects you, black man and black woman. If not, why did he put it there? Huh? He says, it will never be settled in peace. East and West Germany must and will fight it out with all of the deadly weapons that the war scientists have planned and perfected for the final showdown. Now, what we're seeing today is the great buildup for war in the Middle East. Remember, I'm going to play these clips here. One is 2 minutes and 27 seconds. One is 2 minutes and 28 seconds. And one is 3 minutes and 18 seconds. And then this one I want to go to from a blast from the past. So I'm going to play these clips, and then we're going to go to a blast from the past so you can understand who called this. All right, let's go
Russia has accused Turkey of shelling a village in the Syrian territory. Russia's defense ministry says that it has received footage showing the shelling. It demanded an explanation from Turkey, NATO, and the U.S. over the incident. The defense ministry once again slammed a recent accusation by Ankara that a Russian warplane had violated the Turkish airspace, calling it a, quote, premeditated provocation. Tensions have been high between Turkey and Russia over the situation in Syria, as well as the downing of a Russian warplane by Turkish forces in November. Moscow is angry at Ankara's support for terrorist groups fighting to topple the Syrian government. American journalist and political commentator Fred Weir says that the war of words between Russia and Turkey has political reasons, and the deep antagonism on the part of Ankara stems from its disappointment over the Syrian army's gains.
We don't know whether a Russian plane actually did violate Turkish airspace again, or whether the Turks did shell that village. This is a war of words, which clearly is the surface froth of very, very deep antagonism between these two over Syria, over what's happening in Syria. So yes, I think Turkey is extremely disappointed about the gains that the Syrian army is making with Russian air support. I think that it was kind of believed in Ankara that Assad would be overthrown and replaced by a regime that would be more, well, a Sunni dominated regime that would be more Turkey friendly. I think that there's an enormous amount of antagonism there. So we have to see all this in that context. It's not just about whether or not a Russian plane briefly penetrated Turkish airspace. These things do happen all the time, you know, supersonic planes in the Baltic area, for instance, and other places, they go up, they shave other people's borders. It doesn't usually become a great big incident. If it's just a really brief incursion, you know, people file complaints and that's the end of it. This is becoming a huge headline-grabbing event for other reasons, and those reasons are political.
This is a breaking news alert. In a move that will certainly lead to an all-out war between Turkey and Russia, and push NATO to face off against the new Axis powers in a global war, the Turkish Air Force is now on orange alert status. The move permits the Turkish Air Force to shoot down any Russian aircraft perceived to be violating Turkish airspace. This means that without direct orders from Ankara, Turkish pilots can strike at will. Going on orange alert is in response to new allegations against Russia for once again violating Turkish airspace on January 29. There are four stages of the alert system: white, yellow, orange, and red. Orange alert status means there could be conflict and be ready to defend the attack. Red alert means a high probability of conflict or war. The Turkish Foreign Ministry issued this statement referring to the airspace violation, quote, "This kind of irresponsible behavior could lead to grave consequences that may arise with Russia. We stress once more to Russia not to violate Turkish airspace, as we have a clear call to act defensively regarding any violation of the NATO airfield." Prior to the alleged airspace violations, Turkey claims they warned the Russian pilots in the Russian and English languages, stating, quote, "This is the Turkish Air Force. You are approaching the Turkey airfield. Turn your heading south." After the warning, Turkey reported the pilots changed course. Russian Defense Ministry spokesman Major General Igor Konashenkov denied the events took place, stating, "No Russian nor Syrian planes violated Turkish airspace. This is a significant escalation amidst the already strained relations between Russia and Turkey since Turkey shot down a Russian fighter jet late last year. If Turkish pilots act on their own accord and begin shooting down Russian jets, who they claim are constantly violating Turkish airspace, full-blown global war between the new declared Axis powers of Russia, China, and Iran against the United States and NATO could break out."
Now, with that said, and I'm going to go to the next one, but I want to say this to you quickly. Do you see how even with that news alert, they were talking about the sides, who's choosing sides? Now, we know that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that Turkey would fight on the side of the Muslims. But right now, they are on the side of the devil. So something must continue to happen in Turkey's political and geopolitical wranglings at home that must turn Turkey away from the West. So Erdogan's policy has been to destabilize his Muslims.
of them want to be Pan-Africanist. Some of that's Malcolm stuff. I want to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and give to you what he gave to me and others. Okay? So, we know that something must occur, but Turkey won't willingly, especially when Erdogan is so corrupt. They are so corrupt. So something must take place that causes a rupture in government and military and the average people that will cause chaos. And that would mean a removal of the government or the bowing down of the government and to remove themselves or extricate themselves from the North Atlantic terrorist organization. So the buildup for war is one thing that may do it. Because, look, this thing is getting real. Russia said that Turkey is lying, but notice that when Turkey shot down the last plane under American orders, that they also said the same thing prior to. So what Russia did was deploy Sioux fighters. These are air supremacy fighters. They will take down anything in the air that the West has. Okay? So remember we told you that regional war will break out. The messenger said that this is going to happen, and this will affect the balance of power, which means that the more she's weakened abroad, the more she will become weakened at home. Okay? The more she try to expand her grip and maintain her sway, the more she must borrow money from the same people she's trying to make war with. The more she's hollowed out at home economically, then she'll be fighting a war abroad, many of them, and wars at home. You understand? Let's go to this next clip here. This is 3 minutes. I'm trying to get as many because I have economic clips I want to get to also. Because I want to tie all of this into the economic, but you have, this is what I'm saying. You don't have anybody out here that's telling you these things, and it's going to you step by step and showing you the economic, the spiritual, the theological, and scriptorial side, and then showing you how it relates to the economic and how it relates to you. Just give me a little time with you, and we're going to get this straight. Let's go to the next clip.
Not entirely surprising that NATO is not really listening at all to Russian concerns at this point, since they've pushed the situation so much to a point of virtual confrontation, with the expansion of NATO and everything that has happened over the last decade. Nevertheless, I mean this is a very serious situation, and all of these measures, this tit for tat, really creates a kind of situation in which we march towards war. What has happened in Russia over the last 3-4 years, because of NATO's policy of continual expansion, including into areas which are extremely vital for Russia, including former countries in the Soviet Union like Georgia and Ukraine, have really created an enemy on their border and pushed their border much closer to Russian capital. And this, of course, has led to a major military build up on the part of Russia, as we've seen in their latest national security document. And NATO, continues. I think that the Russians put out feelers continually to see if they can bring down some of the tensions. And I think the request that was made by Russia to NATO not to develop, more advanced weaponry, probably could lead to a situation if NATO, were in agreement to at least negotiate this issue, could lead to a considerable lessening of tensions. But at this point, it's like what we used to call a game of chicken, when the two cars are, facing each other, moving at high speeds to see who's going to flinch. And that's an extremely dangerous situation. And what they're saying about the North Korean nuclear missiles is just a lot of hogwash. It's not what NATO is doing in Europe should have nothing at all to do with the North Korean situation. And what's going on in Asia, of course, is that much of this, also the Chinese are becoming very concerned, because the U.S. Tends to use the rather egregious moves by the North Koreans to build up their alliances, to build up their military capabilities, allegedly to meet a North Korean threat. But the Chinese know, as the Russians know, that this is not a question of North Korea, but it's really a question of them. And they will take the appropriate measures. So, I mean, this is really like we're on a steady march towards war. It may not happen tomorrow or next week, but the directionality is extremely dangerous and really should be diverted, and would require that the United States and that NATO at least begin to try and discuss with their Russian counterparts and the Chinese counterparts on a different basis than they have up until now.
If you listen to, I think, one or two shows ago, I even explained this about the situation in North Korea and how America used it as a excuse to build up, because she's eyeing China, and she's eyeing, because a lot of you don't know that Russia, North Korea, and China share a border. All three of them share a border with each other. Now, to build up the might of arms there would make America have all China, Iran, North Korea, and Russia surrounded almost completely with military hardware, air defense systems, and warplanes and warships. As this man says, we can see nothing but war coming. I was listening to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad the other night, and he says that war must come and that it must take place to remove this war maker from the scene. You think you can do something other than what Scripture says. But these things must take place in order to free you, in order to break their power, their backs. Because the more they push, the more they become indebted. The more weapons that they lose, the more they have to buy or purchase from their military storehouses or from their manufacturers, which they don't have too much more. You understand? They're being pushed to the brink by the grand strategizer, Allah in person. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad tells us this, and we're going to go to something. This 1 minute and 38 second clip. He says in the book, self-preservation is the first law of nature. Page 23, Muhammad says, the whole entire world of Christianity, talking about the Western world, the whole entire world of the white man is going to total destruction in their effort to try to settle their differences on the basis of arms, and not on the basis of love and unity, but on the basis of arms that will never set peace on earth for them, as it was not made for peace. What I mean, arms of their sort, literally arms, destructive arms, this was not made for peace. This was made to break the peace. It was made to destroy the life of those who would be at peace. This is what we see going on. Is that not the case? Is that not the case? And remember, we told you something a few years ago about the situation in North Africa before it got so dire. We kept telling you that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that Libya would play a part in the fall of America. You just cannot get around this. And I continued to tell you that America would be forced back into Libya. NATO would be forced back into Libya, right? I've been saying it for years. You haven't heard this, you haven't heard this anywhere else. And now what are they saying now? Well, if you don't know what they're saying, just listen to this 1 minute, 38-second clip, okay? And then you'll get a little brief understanding of where this is going.
With this True News video update, I'm Kelly Sloan. Britain has sent special forces into Libya to prepare for a major ground troop deployment intended to stop ISIS. The U.S. will play a major role in the offensive, along with France, who will together send in 6,000 Marines and soldiers. Forces from Italy, Spain, and Egypt may also get involved. Breitbart is reporting Debka's subscriber newsletter as saying the operation is the largest Allied landing since the Korean War. The plan is for one group to take over Tripoli and the other to control Benghazi. The goal is to stop ISIS, who may be working with other factions in the region, and close up a key staging area for ISIS attacks in Europe and northern Africa. Libya is also a route for human traffickers moving migrants into Europe. Then there is the vast oil and gas reserves in the country. ISIS has control over several oil fields. The move continues a trend of a major war brewing in the Middle East. The UN has tried to negotiate a deal between the two governments in Libya, which is now a hotspot of terror due to the vacuum created when leader Muammar Gaddafi was killed. Hamas and Islamists in Libya and the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt are aligned with Turkey and Qatar. The secularists, including secularists from Libya and the president of Egypt, are on the other side with the UAE and Saudi Arabia. With this True News video update, I'm Kelly Sloan.
I want you to understand something. Libya was the most prosperous nation, not just in Africa, but in the Mediterranean, outclassing its former colonial master, Italy, under Muammar Gaddafi. The overthrow of Muammar Gaddafi and the breaking of the institutions of Libya led to chaos, and now they're saying that they're going in to fight the same people just a couple years ago they labeled as freedom fighters, right? And resistance fighters, whom John McCain took pictures with, and they armed them to the teeth. This is what they want is order out of chaos. They want North Africa destabilized because they want the riches. They want to continue to dominate the African scene. What does this have to do with you? Well, let's go to chapter 43 of Fall of America. And remember in this clip, they talked about Britain, America, Germany, Italy, and France. These powers, they say that we're going to deploy troops back into Libya, right? This is what they said. You just heard it on the clip. Let me read something to you and be patient with me, black man and black woman. The chapter is titled Chapter 43, Plagued by God, America is Doomed. With the end of the rule of the white race over the black people of the earth in sight, face to face, we have to deal with each other according to the actual facts which exist between the two nations, black and white. Well, what are we looking at? We're looking at colonial powers on one hand crying about refugees coming from North Africa and the Middle East into Europe, yet they're not crying about the policies and the wars that they're instituting and implementing on now North Africa, forcing these people who are under stable governments to run to some sort a place that is not under bombing orders. You see all of the alternative media talking about Europe is being flooded, the culture of Europe is being destroyed. Why the hell are the people leaving North Africa? It's because of Europe bombing them and occupying them and overthrowing governments and destabilizing the situation there. So if you're going to cry on this hand, you got to look at what's in the other hand. We got to deal with each other face to face, according to how the actual fact exists, not how we might want it to be, right? Let's go a little further. With the nature and desire of the white race to continue their rule and subjection of the darker people, even though the white man recognizes these facts, he will continue to try holding on to his rule. Stop right there. Therefore, he is entrenching himself in the matter of North Africa and the Middle East. And he knows that now Africa is rising. There was a conference the other day of African nations. And Mugabe, the outgoing head of the African Union, made some brilliant statements. And he said that how in the hell can the United Security Council say that they're for all people, but have not one African nation up there? Has not been telling y'all that? If you listen to this show for a while, hadn't I been saying those things, that Africa would get fed up with it? And Mugabe said that the nations are now getting ready to pull out of the ICC, or the International Criminal Court, because the International Criminal Court is racist and have not called Bush or anyone else to trial, but yet go in illegally with military force and uproot black leaders in Africa and put them in The Hague. Now, isn't that something? In The Hague. The Hague is the capital of, I forget which European country, but one of the occupying countries of Africa. Isn't that ironic? So, Mugabe also says that Africa will no longer stand for this, and they want at least two seats
Security Council or Africa will walk away from the United Nations, the entire continent of Africa. This is something that you missed. It wasn't on Fox. It wasn't on CNN. It wasn't on MSNBC. Because they're trying to suppress the rise of the black nation universally. They don't want you to see what's going on. If the spirit is being aroused in you to reach for self. Well, listen to what Muhammad said. Muhammad says it better than I could ever explain it to you. Listen to what he says. With the nature and desire of the white race to continue their rule and subjection of the darker people, even though the white man recognizes these facts, he will continue to try holding on to his rule, his subjection, his thinking of what he has acquired under such rule, that which is his, and he cannot give up the prey, his concession, the merchandise which he has exploited out from under the noses and eyes of the real owners, the black man. He is willing to shed the blood of his own people with these Paris bombings, right, all these false flag bombings. He will do anything to justify the deployment of military assets in North Africa and the Middle East to try to maintain the breadbasket of Europe and America, which is North Africa, because of the unlimited resources there. So Muhammad says, he is willing to shed the blood of his own people and that of others to hold on to that which he calls his legal possessions. Listen to what Muhammad Golden says. The spirit aroused in the black man says, no, this is what Mugabe embodied when he stood up. And he spoke for the entire African continent, being the president and the voice of the African Union. He says, the spirit aroused in the black man says, no, that the continent and what is on and under its surface belongs to him and his people, the black nation. This spirit and knowledge is now not only confined to African Asia, the black, brown, and yellow people. Listen to this part. This is where we go from looking over there to looking back here. But it is now arising in the American so-called Negro. You see how he pointed over there first? And you see how he brought it back here next, right? All right, come on, follow me a little bit. Let us look at this. He says, and pay close attention to this, but it is now arising in the American so-called Negro, the true lost and found brother of the black man throughout the earth, whether it be Africa or Asia. He is the brother of them all. Now, listen to this. We heard on the clip about America. We heard about the UK or Britain or whatever they want to call it, England, whatever they want to call it today. It's the same thing. Germany, Italy, and France. Didn't they say that they were going to, all of those nations there were going to deploy troops into Africa, into Libya. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you the reason why they're doing it. Listen to what Elijah Muhammad tells you. And you can follow along on page 184, Fall of America. And listen to the names that he gives, okay? So pay close attention to the names. It is the desire of the white race to continue to hold power and authority over black Africa, whether it is Rhodesia, talking about Zimbabwe, or elsewhere. They will just have to give it up. England, Germany, Italy, and France, especially England, France, and skeleton Germany, seem to be the diehards. Isn't that what he, what are we saying? What did that news clip say? Huh? And so listen to these words, which is kind of related but unrelated. I just want to throw this in there before we go to the news clip. So back then, Muhammad talked about Rhodesia. And talked about how they're trying to, the white man is trying to continue to hold on to the power in Africa. They knew that Rhodesia was a stumbling block. So after Rhodesia shook off its colonial masters, it changed its name to Zimbabwe. Listen to what Elijah Muhammad gives you, a forewarning of this to happen before it happened. He says the white man in Rhodesia would be acting wisely if they would realize that one day, sooner or later, they must pack up and leave. Isn't that what happened when Mugabe came to power? Huh? Talk back to me. It's beautiful today to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now,
I want to go to something. This is a 7-minute clip. This was done a few years ago on this show. Remember all that you just heard, because we're talking about the military part, and then we're going to try to transition to the economic part, but I want you to listen to this part on what's going on in the Middle East and North Africa. Pay close attention.
So you can't get around what he's saying, because in the midst of all of these things, you see his teachings. But you got to look. And in this headline, this is what it says right here. Belarus or Belarusia. I say Belarusia because that was the name of it. Belarusia has begun full-scale military drills in readiness check. Why? America is doing drills right on that border. That's why. And that's why Russia just deployed warships, warplanes, and attack copters to their bases in Belarusia. See, this is the beefing up of the military might on either side. Now, let me tell you this, brothers and sisters. You don't move that amount of firepower, that amount of troops, that amount of logistical, the logistics that is needed to do that, for sure. This is going to be there. And this will be there after the jumping off in the Middle East and Africa. I know some of you are saying, well, with all this, it got to be something going on in Europe. Brothers and sisters, don't lose focus. Don't lose sight of what Messenger Elijah Muhammad tells you. I don't care what it looked like to you. Keep your eyes on the prize. And you will not be surprised when you see everything that he says coming to fruition. The devil is always going to throw you a curveball. He's a snake. A snake can't go in a straight line. They have to curve it a little bit to move. And the only time that you see a snake in a straight line is when he's dead. Huh? The next headline. Russian paratroopers land in mainland Ukraine. All right? Now, this is major. This is really major, brothers and sisters. I don't think you understand what's going on. I don't think you truly sit down and just ponder over the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and how right he has been on everything that he's talked about. Have you seen, you saying, well, brother, you're talking about Europe. Yeah. You know why? Because America's building up her force there. Russia's fortifying her force there. Why? Because Europe sees what's going on in Africa. You see what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? Europe sees what's going on in the Middle East. Their puppet in Central Asia, Karzai, he just said, as a matter of fact, I was just looking at an article right before the show started about Karzai. And now the United States put him there, and Karzai comes out and says, Afghanistan doesn't need U.S. troops. So he's weakening America's position for permanent bases there. Remember, Muhammad says, of course America is coming out of Asia. The odds are against her staying there, right? Even her puppet, who used to be over an oil company in the Western Hemisphere, who was put in the seat of power in Afghanistan by these neocons and hawks in Washington, even he now knows that America is on her way out. One of the top generals, Marine generals, said, we have not won the war. Muhammad said, well, she will not be victorious. She will not win the war. These are his exact words. She will not win the war. That's his word. Those are his words. Now you got one of the top military brass repeating exactly what Elijah Muhammad said 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. How is it that this man has been so accurate on everything from the cosmos to what lies beneath Earth? How is it that scientists and heads of state bow when you say this man's name, yet you take him for a mark and a jester before you, when we see global clouds of war gathering with a distinct possibility of economic collapse raining down on this old world that is falling and dying right before your very eyes? You take him for a jester and a joke. You mock him. Some of you, Drew Ali is the DNA of Islam in the Western Hemisphere. I beg your pardon, sir. I beg your pardon. Noble Drew Ali was a great man. And he did what he could with what he knew, but he didn't teach Islam. He didn't teach what was necessary. So, yes, he did. No, he did. He did not teach true Islam. He taught what he had learned. And it was not sufficient to raise the dead to life. But Marcus Garvey was not an ex-slave here in America. So he could not possibly be our leader. Why? Because God says that he would raise up one from amongst them and teach him the wisdom and the book. Drew Ali had neither the knowledge of the Quran fully, nor of the book, the Bible. So it took another special man who had a special DNA, who was raised especially by that special God for a special people in a special time when we were considered the lowest of the low. We're in the time now that everything is science, everything in math and history, economics, everything is bearing witness to Elijah Muhammad. When you take off your goggles and look, because we're seeing global war clouds gathering. And you cannot deny that it is 100% certain that an economic collapse tsunami will rain down on this dying world. Everything is dying. France, as I said to you, brothers and sisters, France is in trouble up in Car and in Mali. Germany is in trouble up in Mali, up in Car, the Central African Republic, Car. They are in trouble, and they're begging the EU to hurry up and send troops. As I said to you, America is fortifying her borders in Europe, because she sees what's going on there. Look at what's going on. Her terrorists are being walked the dog on in Syria. Town after town. City after city. The liberators of Syria, the Syrian Arab army, and Hezbollah are wiping the floor with the Western trained, Western armed, and Western bagged terrorists. Even some of their most staunch allies who are false Muslims, the Saudi regime, the Qatari regime, they're starting to run for the borders. That's the jump-off point. North Africa, the Middle East. Why would Russia do this?
All praise is due to Allah. The jump-off point. Remember, as I was telling you about the situation, they were talking about war is going to break out in Ukraine between the superpowers. I said, don't follow that, brothers. Don't follow that, sisters. You hear me say this? This is over two years ago. I said, don't believe that. Yes, you're seeing them positioning weapons there. But the point is not for war at that point. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says the jump-off point is North Africa and the Middle East. And where are we at now? North Africa and the Middle East, right? How do we know that? Because we followed the blueprint, or as my brothers say, the Rosetta Stone of truth, which is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings. We knew back then when they were hyping it that the conflict for Europe, it will come, but it's going to come in the time in which God had allotted it to come, not before. And we were very confident that you would see a flare-up in North Africa and in the Middle East, because this is what Muhammad said it would happen. Right? Now, you see, 2.5 years ago, up to today, Elijah Muhammad has been vindicated, and we who follow him can point to what we said and how we said it and show you the vindication. How do we know it? We knew it because we studied that man and what that man said. And now time has brought it about, and it is vindicating us. Right? You can't lie. We just played the clip. And there's so many more. But look. This thing is very dreadful with what you see. And the reason that America, Germany, and France, and all of those nations are looking at the Middle East and North Africa is because this is where they get their economic progress from. Without these nations, their economies would go into the doldrums. They would tank immediately. So they're fighting like hell
uranium, plutonium, the gold, the bauxite, all of the minerals and natural resources. They're fighting to control the governments. To hell with the people. They want to control the governments because the governments sit over the people. And then they can get the raw materials and take them back to Europe and refine them and sell it back to Africa at exorbitant prices using their currency. And when they get mad at the nations, they sanction the nations, making the paper that they just printed worthless. That is the telltale sign of a thief, a kleptomaniac, a sociopath, right? The future looks like nothing but war and economic collapse, and they're desperate. I want you to listen to this. Listen closely to this.
I saw, and I want to start here because this book is a message, and the message is clear, and it's backed up with your vast experience and data analysis. And I saw you on a CNBC interview recently. I think it's Fast Money. And the guys interviewing you couldn't even maintain eye contact with you. And they were just like, oh, gosh, oh, man, you were just one fact after another about how bad the economy is. And at the end of the interview, and about how much debt we cannot push into the system anymore.
Right.
And at the end of the interview, they say to you, well, that's one view. And I'm thinking, how many views can you get with that kind of data? Are you finding this pushback from mainstream media in general, not just CNBC, but in general, when you're out talking about how the die is cast, that the economy is going down, the markets are going down? Are you getting a lot of pushback?
Oh, there's tremendous pushback, but that's why I call it bubble vision. My view is not in accord with the authorized theory that everything is awesome, that the central bank and Janet Yellen are totally in charge of our destiny, that the world economy is in great shape, maybe stuttering here and there, a little oil's taking a dip, that everything will be better soon. That is what I call the mainstream narrative. I think it's totally wrong. You raised the image of my book there. I spent 730 pages trying to lay out why we are in a giant artificial bubble created by the central banks over the last several decades that's nearing the end. It's at its apogee. I think the world economy is now plunging into an unprecedented deflation, recession, period of shrinkage that will bring down all the markets around the world that have been vastly overvalued as a result of this massive money printing and liquidity flow into the Wall Street and other financial markets. So obviously they didn't want to hear this, but it's interesting. It was actually the host who didn't want to hear it. He is a CNBC regular. He's part of the daily dog and pony show. You know, the water's warm, stick in your toe, buy some more stocks. Actually, many of the panel members are as skeptical of where the world is going and the markets are heading as I am, only they can't say it on the air. They told me afterwards. So
Wait. They actually told you, Dave, you're right about this. It's tanking. They actually told you that offset?
I mean, not all of them, but some of the members of that panel are pretty serious students of the financial markets. They haven't completely lost their sanity in this great artificial phony bubble that's been created. But it's very rare that they bring a pure dissenting view onto the screen on CNBC. About once a month or so they invite me. I guess I'm the token dissenter. But look at the markets. We're off to the worst start for a year in history. The markets are down anywhere from 10% to 30% around the world. In fact, the other day in my blog, David Stockman's Contra Corner, I posted the fact that 40 markets around the world, including the stock market in Canada, Brazil, and China, and many Japan at that point, are down more than 20%. 40 markets are down something like $8 trillion in market cap and are technically in a bear market. So that is fairly inconsistent. That is a note of dissonance, not coming from skeptics like me, but from the marketplace of the world itself. They try to ignore that whenever they can on bubble vision, because bubble vision goes by the hour and the minute. There is no memory there. There is no history. It's all, I guess the market is in good shape today because Facebook posted a good quarter yesterday. That's about as far as it gets. That's, you know, a measure of the superficiality. But it's part of why this whole central bank-driven era of what I call bubble finance is so unfortunate and dangerous, actually.
Well, you know, you see how he made mock of those on Facebook and how superficial they are, right? That's a lot of Muslims, too, because that's a lot of people live and die for Facebook. And all while the world is collapsing, you can post of where you're going to eat and what you've done and all of this, and the world is collapsing around you and on top of you. You know, he used the word superficiality. I just caught that. But let's go to the Merriam-Webster's dictionary and see what that means. The quality or state of being superficial. Something superficial. So, we know that the state of the economy is a superficial state. It's not real. It is something that you have to look into because it's so deceptive. As a matter of fact, I'm going to play another clip about how deceptive the system is and how dangerous it's become. But Muhammad says that we were to expect these things, right? He says, the doom of the world of the white man and the time of his doom will come, and now it's the time of his doom. But those whom he has made blind, deaf, and dumb do not know who he is, nor the time that he is to be taken away. This is back to what I was saying. The reason of the wars, the reason of the economic collapse. You have to analyze these things and look in Scripture and see what was supposed to take place during these times. And if you understand these times, then you'll understand that this is the day that God brings the devil. He manifests his devil for you to see. So you're seeing them getting away with murder on the street. You're seeing them ignoring your rights. You're seeing them brutalizing and beating you. You're seeing them brutalize and vandalize the entire scope of the world. And you see them holding the policy and dictate that threaten the human family. So you're getting a good look at the man of sin and the puppets that the puppeteers put before you to put forth this illusion of equality. But they're confused. And their world is dying out, Muhammad says. But those whom he has made blind, deaf, and dumb do not know who he is, nor the time that he is to be taken away. Do you notice, as I continue to bring this up, that Mr. Obama was selected, I've used that word right, not elected, but selected to be president in a time of total economic chaos? Why didn't they choose anyone else in all of the years of so-called prosperity? And why would they choose him when they know time, they understand time, and they knew that he would be in office after the 40 years of tarrying in the wilderness and in the beginning of the intensification of the judgment of America at the nearing the end of the term allotted to America and the white world in a grace period? Because they always want to connect, whether it's by word or just by vision, you to failure. They always, and Mr. Happy Joe Slappy accepted the part. They took him up in the government as they did Jesus and offered him all that he could see before him. And Jesus told his devil to kiss my behind. Get thee behind me, Satan. But Mr. Obama,
Muhammad says, so therefore, the world of the white race is filled with confusion, and they do not know what to do themselves. They have confused the black man to the extent that the black man does not know now whether he should go for himself or remain seeking guidance from the devil. Listen, we're in a point now that you cannot deny having understanding or knowledge or being presented with knowledge of where you should be, at which side you should be on, and what you should do. Because you have mathematical skills and you have all of the things before you in mathematics, like multiplication. You take your multiplier times your multiplicand and you come up with a product, right? You have what's around you. You have what God has given you. And now you can come to a conclusion of what you should expect and what you should be doing. Islam is mathematics, and mathematics is Islam, right? You can't escape that. So today, brothers and sisters, listen to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says. There has been decay in the government of the wicked for the past 2,000 years since the death of Jesus. I am positive that you see the corruption in this government, which is bound to end in the complete fall and destruction of this government. What is going on in the money market? What is going on in the financial market? What is going on in the political sphere? There's an upheaval of tensions. There's a great divide. There is insolvency and fiscal imprudence. There is market corruption. And now it all blows back, not just in America, but globally, because the entire system is corrupt to the very core and must be uprooted and removed. The future looks like nothing but war and economic collapse. Let's go to this next clip. Pay close attention, black man and woman.
And dangerous, actually.
Why dangerous? Are people just, are you, well, first of all, why dangerous? When you say it's unfortunate and dangerous, why is it dangerous to the
public? Well, it's dangerous because it has lured in an awful lot of innocent people for the third time this century. They got killed in the dot-com bust. They swore not to come back in. I'm talking about regular people on Main Street who were trying to provide for their retirement or their family or to build their balance sheet. Finally, they came back in just in time for the housing bubble to crash in 2007, 2008. Something like $12 trillion of market cap was wiped out in the Great Meltdown that fall and winter. After swearing never again, and I think you could hear that over and over during and after the Great Recession, in the last 2 years, as Wall Street ramped up the market one more time by huge amounts, not based on really any economic performance, and we can talk about that, I think the retail investor waded in again. The sheep lined up and unfortunately are heading for the slaughter one more time. Now, I think it's very hard to see how this baby boom generation, you know, there's 10 million people or 10,000 people retiring a day, can afford one more devastating crash in their stock holdings. And that's unfortunately what we're heading for. So that's why I say it's dangerous, because when the bubble breaks, it will obviously spill and flow throughout the Main Street economy.
And what did he say? That you are like sheep being led to the eventual slaughter because you won't adhere to right guidance. Now, he knows that America is at her end. He knows that the European or Eurocentric-dominated world and system is imploding. Why? As I said before, it's because they are corrupt. They're immoral. And have you ever noticed this about someone who steals or somebody about someone who lies, about somebody who is always underhanded? They always try to project that on someone else. You notice that? So that you don't see the true culprit. In this America, they can kill, but don't you dare think about defending yourself. They can steal, but how dare you defend yourself from our thieving hands? They can lie, what Saddam lied to us, so we must verify. They can bomb, but how dare you bomb? That's the thief. That's the liar. That's the deceiver. That's the murderer. He projects who he is on others so that you don't see him in the light. But this is the day that God makes manifest the man of sin and his world, which must be removed as we speak. So we go to message to the black man, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, make America know her sins. If you don't make her know her sins, then she can easily feign ignorance and say that the justification of the removal of her is not right because they didn't know. I wasn't back then. I didn't know about this. So what you do, you give them a thorough understanding of their system and the way that it has worked and the way that it continues to work and be parasitic on the lives of the host people, which are the ex-slaves here in America. So you make her know her sins so that she has no excuse or expiation. She has no way out of this except but to submit and let us go free. So Muhammad says in this chapter, make America know her sins. He says, the doom of America approaches. And there are many people who do not really know why. Some of the Muslims are like that too. They don't realize the time. So they believe that they can still preach to the people. When what we need is a insight. And what we need is knowledge and wisdom and understanding so that we can walk through this briar patch, this minefield, without activating the minds that will cause us to be blown to pieces. We need understanding above all things to get us from one point to the next point. And if we get this understanding through knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and we become civilized, then we can calculate or make time from that point in the past to a future point. But without this, we can't do it. So Muhammad says, the doom of America approaches. And there are many people who do not really know why. So you have this show, the Star and Crescent Report, and you have the website, the Hiram 1555 blog, where we put notes in articles so that you can understand why this is taking place. And listen to what he says after this. There are also many who would not like to know. Those are people who are stuck in what they want. Not what they need, but what they want. They can't justify what they're doing. So they'll try to demonize others. They don't know, nor would they like to know, because they're in this little bubble. But when the bubble bursts, what will happen? You will drop and die. Right? So Muhammad goes and says, as I have always said, truth hurts, especially the guilty. It is the express purpose of the coming of God, whose proper name is Allah, to make manifest the sins of a people whom he would destroy, justifying his destruction of that people. So God now manifests America. See, you're getting a full whiff, a full understanding of why she's wicked, how she's wicked, the depths and inner workings of America, a look that you've never seen before because she's working it on your family members. She's working it on you. She's depriving you of equality, of a job, of justice. She's going around the world with your children, causing them to fight people that have never done nothing to them. And if they're lucky enough to return, she deprives them of a way to live. This is the way of Satan. Satan is one whose evil is not confined to oneself, but affects others. This man's work has affected every human being on the face of the planet Earth. And as long as he's able to run free, we cannot expect to grow and prosper because we're under a heavy atmosphere of wickedness and under the yoke of bondage that was laid upon our backs by Yaqub 6,000 years ago. But now there's a God on the scene today. You know, the Bible tells us by one man sin entered into the world, right? And it talks about that one Adam that the sin entered to. And the other to remove the sin. Well, this Adam, this first Adam, who came into being 6,000 years ago, has put the entire planet under an atmosphere of instability, fear, death, war. You don't have to believe me. Look around. Look at your TV. Look at your news. Look at the filth on the TV. Look at the radio. Look at the internet. And there's a second Adam that was made to remove all that. That second Adam has come in the person of one Master Farad Muhammad. And he is now removing the works of Yaqub and the world of Yaqub. And he's bringing forth a new work, a new world, a new order. Will you accept it? I want you to listen to this. This is a 47-second clip. Listen to this right here. All right?
Is this bigger than any other in the past?
Yeah.
Any other, including the Great Depression?
You know, I think we've been building a bubble year by year since the early 90s, and the earlier crashes that we are so familiar with, dot-com and the housing crash, were only interim corrections that were not allowed to work their way clear. The rot was not effectively purged from the system because the central banks jumped right back in within really months of the corrections and doubled down in terms of the stimulus and the liquidity that they pumped into the market.
Now, he said that this will be greater than anything that you've ever seen, greater than the Great Depression. And he names one thing. He said, because the early rot of the system was not allowed to be removed, they jumped right back in it, put more rot on top of rot. Now, isn't that something? He says, rot. Now, let's go to the dictionary. The Merriam-Webster's dictionary speaks of rot in these words. Rot, rotted, rotting. Intransitive verb, to undergo decomposition from the action of bacteria or fungi, to become unsound or weak as from use or chemical action, to go to ruin, to become morally corrupt, to slowly decay or cause something to decay. What did Elijah Muhammad say? That there's a gradual decay of the old world, and a new one is coming in. That means that the old world is rotting, and the system has rotted out, right? Is that not what he's saying? You know your brother, right? You might be mad with me, but later you'll love me because I'm telling you what God has told us through the mouth of the past, the greatest messenger to ever live. Brothers and sisters, go over there and donate with an undying passion and love for the liberation, upliftment, and redemption of 68 million. Of our kind here in America first, and then the billions around the world, with an undying love and passion for you all. Always know that your little brother loves you, but Allah in person, his messenger, and the mighty, mighty nation of Islam, they always love you best. As-salamu alaykum and keep safe.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com. And click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the moon I miss. Day to day the roads we take. All feel brown with brown
around. There are lots of things you can spend your tax refund on, but one thing you don't have to spend it on? A new smartphone. Switch to MetroPCS now and get not one, but two free 4G LTE smartphones for brands like Samsung and LG. Plus, you're on T-Mobile's blazing fast nationwide 4G LTE network. Hurry, switch to MetroPCS and get two free smartphones after instant rebate. One heck of a deal, only at MetroPCS. Limited time offer. Sales tax not included in phone price. Coverage and services not available everywhere. See store for details and terms and conditions.